The good. The bad. The ugly.
Welcome to Sustain Nutrition's podcast, Chewing the Fat, where Joe and James will be discussing all things good, bad and ugly regarding training and nutrition. So pull up your pants, put your best foot forward and get ready for some serious oral pleasure. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Joe and James.
Right, welcome to the podcast. We're very excited to have, I would call yourselves HRT experts, specialists, in the house to talk everything perimenopausal, menopausal, and HRT. So, ladies, would you like to introduce yourselves, please? Tell us a bit about you, what you do.
Thanks, James. So, I'm Melissa. I'm one of the prescribing pharmacists from LIV. We set up LIV probably about a year ago now, and it's an online menopause clinic and prescribing pharmacy. And this is Bushra.
Hi, I'm Bushra. I'm one of the other pharmacists here. That's the prescribing pharmacist, and being with Melissa from the beginning of the journey, actually. So it's been really, really, it has been a bit of a journey, hasn't
it? Yeah, it has. Yeah.
What made you set this up in the first place, though? What was the problem that you were trying to solve?
Okay, so I'm 43 now, and it was probably a couple of years ago that I started having a few symptoms myself. And I wasn't sure what they were. And I've got another business, an aesthetics business that's in the pharmacy world. And a lot of my patients are aged between 40 and 60. A lot of them were going through perimenopause, menopause, going to see the GP, being diagnosed with depression or anxiety, or then going to see a private menopause specialist, which they just couldn't afford. The costs were so expensive, say over £250 for consultation. So the more training I did, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, I started doing my training with the British Menopause Society. I realised and looked into all the symptoms of the menopause and realised that as pharmacists, we can help and treat and diagnose that. And I just wanted to make something that was more accessible and more affordable to a lot of women.
So how is it that you do help then? How does your business work? How does it function?
Okay, so I wanted something that was online. So a lot of women, when they go to the GP, some of them don't even like waiting in a waiting room because they don't feel like the menopause is actually a condition to begin with. They don't feel like it's something urgent enough to be seen by the doctor. So we wanted women to feel listened and heard to, and that they could have a safe space to speak, whether it was at home or in the workplace or just somewhere where they could sit down in their own time and own space and have a video consultation with us for half an hour. So you go online, you fill out a pre-consultation first, so we get an idea of your symptoms. We do a video consultation for about half an hour, and then we look at what all your symptoms are, assess them, and then decide what to do from there. So we can either prescribe treatment or look at another plan for you.
Brilliant. So what struggles, I suppose, did you see yourself, but what struggles do you hear from other people? Because I mean, I know from some of the chats that I'm in with the ladies that we work with, like even getting an appointment or getting the doctor to, you know, like I said, prescribe HRT and not antidepressants, it can be a massive issue, can be a massive struggle for those people. So what kind of issues do you see coming up?
I think one of the biggest concerns here is the recognition, because as women in that particular age gap, what you're doing is you're juggling a career, or you're juggling house, and you're juggling children and family, and you're probably in that age bracket where you're probably looking after elderly patients as well. So what we used to find was women saying, I'm really tired. I feel as if I'm not coping as well as I was doing in the past. Things that I was able to deal with seem to be a real burden. And those are the kind of conversations we were hearing, really. Mm. So we were like, well, let's explore a little bit further. And you do it, don't you, as women? We women talk. I think that's quite well known. And so you thought, well, actually, I'm feeling a bit of that, and I'm feeling a bit of that. And we started to explore, didn't we, and started talking about kind of, well, why is it that we're kind of feeling this way? And that's where the hormone conversation came in, really, in terms of, you know, let's see what's going on. And as you delved a little bit deeper, you felt that actually there was patterns that you were seeing with what these women were feeling. And it wasn't just because, you know, they had a busy time in terms of their personal life or their careers. But it was more about
You got your hand up first, Joe.
Oh, it's mostly for James to know that I was going to ask a question. So why is society and culture and the medical profession been so slow to catch on with this? Why is this not more understood by women and society in general?
I think most of it is, first of all, we don't realise what all the symptoms are. There's so many symptoms of the menopause and perimenopause that's one issue. Second of all, the NHS treatment guidelines are really to treat menopause, not perimenopause. So unless you've reached a certain age and you're not having your periods, then a lot of GPs are really quick to dismiss you and let's try and treat something else first. Another thing that I think is just access to appointments. So a lot of women don't feel like it's bad enough to have that as an actual condition or a symptom to be treated, and they try and manage it themselves. And then the main thing for us, I think, is training.
Yeah.
GPs and doctors are just not trained. It's taken us about 3 years to get to the level of training that we need to do to understand hormones, how they work, the different types of medication. And GPs are not specialists in one area. They're general practitioners. And having specialists that are trained in that is really important.
Yeah, I think that's something that people miss out, isn't it? Like GP standing for general practitioner. And if you had an issue with your hip, then you're best off going to a hip specialist. If you've got an issue with the perimenopause or the menopause, then you're best off speaking to a specialist. But it's having that available. So looking at the symptoms, and I know there's, it kind of varies depending on who you listen to. There's like 47 recognized ones. There's over 100. What kind of things should people be looking out for? That, because I appreciate what you said, like some people just go, well, it's just old age, aches and pains, fatigue, brain fog. I'm just getting older. So what should people really be looking out for as a signal that they're going through the perimenopause?
I think a lot of it is just looking at how you have been previously and how you're feeling now, because actually everybody's experience of the menopause is going to be really different. And even between us, in terms of we see lots of patients and we don't get any two patients that are the same. So in terms of identifying or saying, actually, well, that's, once I've got that, I know I'm kind of going through the menopause transition. I think what you've got to look at is your baseline ability to what you were able to do and actually how that's been impacted. And yes, you would need to look at what the external factors are and what kind of influences have kind of changed that. But the general thing in terms of if you're not able to concentrate on things, or you're kind of not having all those body regulatory issues, so kind of being able to regulate your body temperature, being able to regulate your mood, being able to see changes in terms of regulating your monthly bleeds. Those are the kind of things that we'd be kind of saying, well, actually, something's probably not quite right. But we would say, in terms of if it's having an impact on your quality of life, or there's been a change in how you would function, that would be something that you would really need to, that's kind of the point where we'd want you to come in and probably have a chat with us, really, and say, let's see if it is. And it might not be the menopause, and that's absolutely fine. But what we can then do is signpost you to other clinicians or other healthcare professionals that would be able to deal with some of those concerns that you've got as well.
So how do you assess if it is the perimenopause then or not?
So we have a really long consultation with every lady, and everyone is so different. There are so many different symptoms. And first of all, we have to go through your medical profile. So we always do a medical consultation first, make sure we've ruled out any of the underlying risk factors, which is really, really important. And also just make sure that they have checked in with a GP first. Have you had all your basic checks done? Have you had your cervical smears done? Are you up to date with it? Is your blood pressure okay? So once we know that all baseline measurements are okay and women are still not feeling themselves and where they are, we can then look at treatment options, and we can then look at actually treatment options and also lifestyle. Lifestyle is a really important thing. We also discussed that in the consultation. Are you eating well? Are you sleeping well? Are you drinking alcohol? Are you not drinking alcohol? Which is why we need to spend so long in a consultation. And again, why I think GPs haven't got that length of time to fully understand what's going on. And it's not until then, again, really, it's really hard, because the thing is, with perimenopause, we're not actually discussed this, but what is perimenopause and what is menopause? It is, as we get older, your estrogen levels just naturally decline, and that's what brings on all the symptoms that we're experiencing. Menopause is just one day in your life when you've not had your periods for 12 months. But as your estrogen levels drop, your symptoms materialize. So we can recognize that actually by adding in estrogen, we can make that better. But it's not just that, it's not the only answer.
But we go on the symptoms, actually. And going back to what I said earlier, it's about how you're feeling and how it's impacting your quality of life. And sometimes we get things bounced around in terms of, oh, well, can I have a blood test to find out if I'm in the menopause or in the perimenopause? Well, actually, because your hormones are taking you on a bit of a roller coaster ride, even if you were to do a blood test, you know, at 11 o'clock in the morning and do it again at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the results will be quite varied if you're definitely in the perimenopause stage. And so, and even actually just normal, for normal women that aren't going through the menopause transition, they do fluctuate even hour by hour, day by day. So doing a blood test, it works for some patients, and that's really when we want to kind of measure in terms of what the ovaries are still, you know, if the ovaries are still working. And that's in some extreme cases when we would do those. But generally, we go on symptoms alone. The only hormone that we definitely do blood tests for is testosterone. And the reason for that is it has a, although testosterone has a decline as well, but it has a much more calmer decline, shall we say. So it drops and then it plateaus and drops and plateaus. So we're able to monitor that a little bit closely, really. Whereas your estrogen and your progesterone will be doing this. You're on a bit of a big dipper, really. So,
and that is, you know, and again, I can only talk from research, obviously, being a 45-year-old man, and I have to tread very carefully when I talk about these things. Is that thing when I've spoken to people and they said, oh, get a blood test. It's like, well, you can't. And that's, you know, from my understanding, again, caveat it, the reasons for the mood swings because your estrogen will, like say, ebb and flow over the course of a day. So it's always going to be up and down through the perimenopause. And like you said, when you get to the official menopause, when it's 12 months without a period, then it should be, should it be more level then? Is that there's no more ebbs and flows then?
Your estrogen levels can still fluctuate quite a bit still then. Right. So we often, another reason why we do use blood tests is to tailor your treatment plan and your prescribing. So we want to make sure that if you are using HRT or hormones, that you are actually absorbing that amount of hormone therapy. Like we've seen some ladies that have been on the same HRT from the GP for 2 years and they've got symptoms. So we like to monitor and check in every 3 to 6 months. And that's when we'd probably look at doing a blood test and saying, actually, is that HRT that you've got, is your estrogen level at the level that we want it to be? Because we probably might need to pick it up a little bit then.
So just to jump back a little bit, sorry. So what, at what point should someone inquire about HRT? So, you know, is there a set time of how long they've been having symptoms, or when's the best time to ask, I suppose?
I think as soon as you just don't feel, I wouldn't leave it too late. I think a lot of things that I say to a lot of women, HRT can make a lot of women feel a lot better than they do now. So do you want to operate at 100% or 70% when you know that when we look at it, it's lack of estrogen, let's add in estrogen and that can help with your symptoms and make you feel a lot better. A lot of women say, it's okay, I can carry on, I can keep going, but do you want to do that or do you want to feel better? So it's always worth having a chat to look at what options are available, I think. And there's benefits to HRT as well. So we haven't discussed this yet. We'll come on to it after. But there's so many benefits to HRT too.
The other analogy that we tend to use is diabetes. Can be a hormone related, is a hormone related condition as well. And we don't generally say to patients that are diabetic, well, let's just see how far we can let you go and kind of let's see when it's going to get really bad to treat you. You actually, it's about, it's preventative treatment, isn't it, really? So sometimes HRT can be used as a preventative, and that's when we kind of talk about the benefits around it. And we'll talk about them in a while.
Because I was surprised to see, or listen to a podcast, to see that 1 in 3 women take no action when it comes to HRT. And so are there things that people can do with regards to symptom tracking? Because we talk about this kind of change in symptoms over time to help people to identify when might be the right time.
When might be the right time to start HRT?
Or, or to ask for help? Because I guess it's easy to say, I've had a bad day, I'm not feeling too good. But then are there ways to track this?
I think you can start to tell that actually, I think like Bush was said before, it's when you just regularly not feeling yourself, and you maybe start shouting at the kids more, or your partner more, or at work more, and you start, it's like this rage that starts to come on, or the hot sweats is a definite sign. There's some indicators that are definite signs that actually I'm not myself, but some are really subtle. Like we've had some ladies that didn't even realize probably till after they've started treatment that they've had like a constant low-lying worry knot, like that Monday morning feeling every day. And until they've started treatment, they've been like, oh my God, I feel so much better. I didn't realize that that was even a thing that could be possible. And now I feel back to myself. I didn't realize what it was like before. So I think there isn't ever a good time, I wouldn't say.
But in terms of you spoke about tracking, and that's actually a good point, because what you can see is if there's a pattern to what you're getting in terms of your symptoms. So we know that hormones follow a particular pattern. And if they're kind of a bit haywire, you'll probably realize that those symptoms are going to be a bit more obvious in terms of what's going on. So yeah, so just even in a diary, there's nothing, you know, you don't have to be downloading or buying a particular app or anything like that, but just popping in your diary and saying, actually, whereabouts are you in your menstrual cycle and what symptoms are you experiencing? So just something as simple as that. And we actually encourage our clients to do that. So once they've had a consultation with us, we do say to them, look, it's really useful that even if you're starting on HRT, to track your symptoms and see if it's had an impact as well, because that gives us it's a conversation for us to have, isn't it? To say, actually, what's improved, what's not improved, what can we tweak and what can we change for the better, really? So, yeah, just in a normal diary, just seeing what's happening.
It's something that we do within our coaching, is we get people to list the symptoms that are the biggest symptoms that they've got. And then periodically we check in and say, what improvements have you seen from doing the things? And, you know, obviously we're not around the HRT aspects, we're around more of the lifestyle stuff, the things that you mentioned, like sleep and stress and nutrition and exercise. So it's interesting to see. So what improvements can people expect to see when they start on HRT?
Oh, well, again, with the symptoms, it depends on your symptoms to start with. So some ladies, the hot sweats can go quite instantly. Within a couple of days, that can really literally just disappear. The anxiety can disappear. Vaginal dryness is one of the big symptoms that we see a lot of. And people don't realize that that can be resolved by topical and oral treatments, as in like the gels that we put on for estrogen. Although that can be helped with local treatment too. I guess what we're trying to do is get rid of the symptoms that they came to us with. And HRT, because all the symptoms are caused by lack of estrogen, and we're trying to get that back up again, we just want to make sure that estrogen level is now where it needs to be. So that can be a case of, until those symptoms have gone or disappearing, we just keep checking in every 3 to 6 months, saying, where are you now? How are you getting on? And if that's not worked or not where it needs to be, then we look at alternative options.
With some of the conversations that I've had, I think people still have an idea of it's kind of one size fits all. Like, I take 2 paracetamols when I've got a headache and that's it. Whereas obviously, I say obvious to me, but maybe because I'm in this kind of field, is people will absorb things at different rates, like whether that's orally, whether that's injection, whether that's topical. So these things need to keep on tweaking, because I think some people, again, in my experiences, they'll go away and like, well, I've had, you know, I've got estrogen, the patches or the gel, and it's not working, or I've still got these symptoms. So what should people do there? Is that the dosage needs to be tweaked?
Definitely. They need to go back, see the doctor. But again, this is where sometimes we get stuck, because sometimes we'd put people on 4 pumps of estrogel quite quickly, whereas GPs would be really reluctant to do that. So definitely, if you're not feeling yourself, you've been on your HRT for 3 months and it's not doing what it needs to be, keep going back to see the GP and have a review, have those conversations with them. Don't let it slide. There's different options. Sometimes it might be the patch isn't absorbing properly, so switch to a gel or a tablet, but we just keep moving around until we get the symptoms solved.
I would say, in terms of patients that we've seen, very rarely do they stay on the same regime that we start them on initially. And that's down to their personal preference as well, because actually the more they learn about what's available to them, they then kind of, and we talk to them, we give them enough information to make informed choices, really, so that they can kind of assess what works for them and how they want to proceed. Yeah, so I would say very rarely do patients stay on the first regime that we pick. And I guess that's where we're different in terms of patients have access to us. I think sometimes if you're seen in other areas, you kind of put on a journey and then say, right, we'll see you in 3 to 6 months. We're available. We're at the end of a phone. We're at the end of an email, or, you know, so it's about that support.
And it's just knowing how to be persistent with your doctor. I know it's hard, but I had a lady the other day again, and she said, I've come to see you purely because I needed a blood pressure check with my GP and they wouldn't give me any more HRT till I had that done. They got my appointment time wrong, so now they won't see me for another month. I've got no HRT. And I was just like, the system's just so broken and so hard. And it's really frustrating, because if it was any other condition, if it was a heart condition or anything else, I think it would be taken a lot more seriously.
That's one thing I really liked when we had our call initially, like, about your approach, is it's much more hands-on and much more, there's more feedback from you because there's more availability to you.
We talked, because there's progesterone as well, which is one that comes up a lot, because we have a lot of women that have had a bad history of progesterone, or they get PMD, I always get my initials mixed up, PMDD, where they really suffer with, or they have progesterone intolerances. But when we prescribe estrogen as part of HRT, it can thicken the lining of your womb. So it's really important that we counteract that with progesterone. And a lot of women really struggle with that, because they just want the estrogen because that's the good bit, and they don't want to take the progesterone. But we need to prevent the endometrial cancer, which is why we prescribe the progesterone as well. So we suggested Marina Coil for a lot of women if they haven't got one already, because that's always delivering your progesterone for you, or capsules. And some of the capsules are really beneficial because they have like a slightly sedative effect, and some ladies like that. But again, there's so many different options out there, but it's just really, really important that women take the progesterone side of it too.
Yeah. So you, in terms of treatment options, you can get it in gel form, which is the Eustra gel. You can get it in spray form, so you can be getting it through the skin, as well as patches, which all come through the skin. But there are tablets available as well. But we just kind of, again, we have that conversation with the patient, don't we? Just see what works for their lifestyle, because actually, if they're going to be not taking it every day, then a tablet probably isn't going to work for them, because they're going to have to remember it every day. Whereas if they're taking a once weekly patch to pop on, or a twice weekly patch, they can pop it on and forget about it, and it's there then. And so it's just about navigating how we can make sure that they're going to have the safest treatment option, and make sure that they use it regularly and use it in the correct manner as well. Like Melissa was saying, you know, there's certain treatments, there's certain regimes of treatment that need to be in place to make sure we're future-proofing kind of any adverse effects, really. So, yeah, we talk to the patients to kind of decide what's the best option for them.
So if we're going with a big question, the big one, it could take a while. So we've got estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. What role do each of those play, and why should... Because I think everyone just thinks estrogen, automatically estrogen, and they won't necessarily go with progesterone, and very rarely, I imagine, would go for, or presume the testosterone was part of HRT. So what role do each of those hormones play?
So estrogen is the one hormone that everybody knows about, really. And I think I've mentioned it earlier. So estrogen is your regulatory hormone. So it's able to regulate your body temperature. It's able to regulate some of your mood. It's involved in lots of kind of chemical reactions, which is your day-to-day running of your body. So if you get a reduction in your estrogen, which is what happens potentially in the perimenopause stage and as you go into menopause and beyond, what you're doing is you're depriving your body of a hormone that it needs to function. So that's where estrogen is involved. So it's all those regulatory bits like temperature, brain, thought, all of that. Progesterone, on the other hand, is involved in terms of regulating your cycles and to some degree your mood as well, and some bone health as well. So if a drop in your progesterone can sometimes cause you to have fluctuations in your bleeds, which is what one of the other main symptoms is, that when women come to see us, they say, oh, actually my periods are starting to change. You know, I had one last month, I haven't had one for now, you know, 8 weeks, there's something not quite right, or they're heavier or lighter than normal. So that's kind of one of the other indicators for progesterone. So in terms of how it works, estrogen generally involved with regulating kind of bodily functions. Progesterone is generally involved with kind of regulating your lining of your womb, because it's the hormone that's involved with kind of for you to be able to take on a fetus to kind of grow it. So that's really involved with kind of the bleeding cycles and to some degree your mood and bone health as well. Testosterone, which is a bit of a buzzword at the moment.
Do you have many women asking about testosterone?
Not particularly. I mean, not us. We're more on the holistic side.
Okay, so testosterone is a third hormone, and we don't really tend to look at this until we make sure that women are well estrogenized, or as estrogenized as possible, because we need to make sure that your estrogen is in place first before we start masking the testosterone. And also sometimes when we start prescribing estrogen, it can naturally pick up your testosterone levels. So we always look at that first. But there are some women that can't take estrogen or progesterone, so we have testosterone as an option for them too, as well as adding it in as a third hormone for some women, like myself. So what does it do, testosterone? Its main licensed indication is for improving libido. So that's what it's licensed for, not in this country, in Australia and other countries, but we do prescribe it here for that. So when we have women that come to us and say there's still a lot of the symptoms have improved, but the libido is still not great, we do look at that one as an option. Although it has got another loads of other options, it really helps cognitively with brain function. It really helps with
muscle tone
is a really good one. Yeah, improving when you're at the gym, muscle function, and red blood cell function as well. So it just generally, it's another one that just helps improve your energy levels, improve your performance at the gym and memory, and it just helps cognitively as well. Although it isn't licensed for all those, we do find a lot of women find all those benefits to it. The other thing with testosterone now is we have to do blood tests. So a lot of women want to just have it prescribed, try it, but it's because of its licensed indication, we need to make sure that we do a blood test before we can prescribe it, see where we are, and then we do a blood test 3 months after treatment, just to make sure that you're in safety zones and getting no side effects from it as well.
You've spoken a little bit there about potential risks. Would you care to go? Because I understand there's quite a lot of confusion around this. Would you be able to clarify for everyone listening what the risks are with the various options?
So I think in terms of risks, get spoken about quite often, don't they? And I guess if you're putting anything into the body, you need to, you know, and you're kind of adjusting what's going on, there's obviously going to be an element of risk. And I think in terms of estrogen and progesterone, those risks are quite well known. I think it's come from one of the studies that was done 10 years ago, which has been a bit debunked now, hasn't it, in terms of the findings. I think there was all the hype around, actually, if you take HRT, you're going to get breast cancer. Well, actually, I think one of the things that we really need to be aware of is actually, as women, 1 in 7 of us is going to get breast cancer anyway. And that's our baseline value. And we need to look at what the other factors are as well. So if you're drinking, that will increase your risk of breast cancer. Yeah. Obese, you know, being overweight, that will increase your risk of breast cancer. So we know that being having a BMI over 30 is the biggest kind of indicator for endometrial cancer. So, and smoking is another one.
Smoking. So we discuss all of that when we go through the risks and benefits, because these risks can also help reduce the risk when you take HRT. So when you're taking HRT, if you can reduce your other risk factors, that can minimize your risks with any HRT that you take as well.
So one of the other risks that generally tends to come up is the clotting risk as well. So you can sometimes get clots with being on HRT. And actually, I just need to highlight that the risk associated with a clot with HRT is no different to taking the combined oral contraceptive pill. And women take that all the time. So, and the doses in HRT are a lot lower than what you're taking in the combined oral contraceptive pill. So we look at actually what your family history is. We look at what the, you know, your own personal medical history. And then we work out in terms of what the risk is of potentially having those. And like with all things, we make sure that you're fully aware of what those risks are. And I come back to the point which I, you know, we said really early on, it's about the quality of life. And I think it's a bit of a balancing act really in terms of if you're kind of so debilitated because your hormone levels are in the boots and you're not able to function, actually, you know, and having a bit of HRT and taking that little bit of risk, is that going to be worthwhile for you to do? So that's really, it's a joint discussion we have with our clients, really, to say we're very honest and open about what the risk would be for them, because it's a very individualized approach to care, because it's not a standardized approach, because they all have different experiences and different risks that they carry. So it's down to the patient in terms of what choice they make after we've given them all the facts, really.
And the other thing with the risk is it decreases or diminishes as soon as you stop taking the HRT. So we always say, again, to a lot of ladies, try the HRT for 3 months, see how you get on. If it really makes a massive difference, that's great. If it doesn't, and you have any concerns about the risks even later along, if you have more concerns about risks, just stop taking the HRT and that risk reduces again.
They're definitely the two biggest ones that I've heard of is the barriers that have stopped people from taking HRT that I've heard of is the clotting and the increased risk or belief of the increased risk of breast cancer, which I did some research into, and it was a massively flawed study of like 70-year-old women, like you said. Yeah. Is that quality of life versus risk reward, I suppose, is it?
Yeah, and I think the other way we do is we minimize the risks as well in how we deliver the medication. So we know that delivering treatment through the skin, so in the form of a gel, a patch and a spray, it actually doesn't increase much of your risk. And actually some of the data now in terms of some of the tablets that are on the market as well, it's shown that it doesn't increase your risk above your baseline value at the moment. So yeah, it's just about making sure that people understand. And coming back to the research that you were talking about there, this was a research paper that was done, and it was in women that were over 65. So they were actually postmenopausal. So they'd stopped their periods for years. And the HRT that they were using for them at the time was from equine urine. So it was a very old fashioned HRT. So the things that we use at the moment are very new, and they're called body identical. So they're very similar to what our own body uses. So that further reduces the risk in terms of the choice of HRT that they use as well. So
actually, I've got two questions. I just told you I've got one more question. I've got two more questions. When people start taking HRT, should they expect to get 100% back to how they were, or is there going to be a slight, I mean, would you even know if you're 100%, I suppose?
So for some ladies that we've seen, like we had a couple of ladies recently, because now it's been a year that we've been here, and it's maybe taken 6 to 9 months, and they're now looking back on the journey and they're saying, thank you so much. It's taken a few different options. It's taken a few attempts, but we finally got to the right plan, and it's working a treat. I feel back to myself, my relationship back, and back at work. So some of them aren't as simple as just a straightaway fix. Some are within about 3 weeks, we get a message, and they've bounced back really quickly. They've responded really well to treatment, and it's helped with the symptoms that they've got. So it's literally, when we say there's no one size, it's so different for everybody, which is why, again, whether you're speaking to your GP or speaking to us or whoever, you've got to keep going. You've got to keep persisting with it, because it's such a long journey. Some of us can be on this journey for 20, 25 years. So you just don't stay on one thing and stick with it and hope for the best. You need to keep going with it.
It really is like a tailored approach, isn't it? It's not, I think lots of people think, oh, it's just like buying off the peg, right? I go on 10 micrograms of this and that, and it's, you've got to keep on going back and refitting. Which takes me on to my last question. It's Joe, last one from me. How do people know when to stop taking HRT? So how do they know? One of the questions that someone asked was like, what happens when you stop taking HRT? Do you still have the symptoms? And my guess would be that you're not out of the perimenopause there. So how do people know when they're in the menopause? Is it when to stop taking HRT?
Two things there. So some ladies we've got that are in their 60s and they still get benefits from taking extra estrogen and testosterone. So there's no upper age limit to it. As in, as long as you're still feeling benefits from it, there are benefits to taking HRT. So there's no downside to taking HRT. My mum was still taking it till she was nearly 70 because she just felt so good on it. But she just accidentally forgot to order a repeat prescription, stopped taking it, and realised that actually she wasn't that bad anyway without it. So it's, again, it's one of those things, if you feel good and you've been consistently good and you feel okay, you can stop taking it. And then
we've seen it with clients as well. So I always think it's always better to talk by example, really. So I've had a client who said, actually, I don't think it's helping. It's plateaued. My symptoms are still there. They've kind of coasting along with those symptoms. And I said, right, well, have a period of coming off the HRT and see how you feel. And we got a call pretty quickly to say, can I have it back again? Because I now realise that I did need it. So it's so, and that's what we do. So if somebody says, actually, do I need to come off it? Is it going to work? We say, well, let's have a period of time without it and see how you go. There's no harm. And that's the beauty with HRT, because although you can take it coming off, it's not with other treatments where you have to taper the dose, or you kind of, you know, there's going to be long-term consequences of you being you coming off it really quickly. You can come off it. We have patients that come off it and they say, right, actually I've had a period of 3 months off it, I want to start it again, and then they start it. So you can pick it up as and when, and you kind of taper off if you needed to as well. So like Melissa said, there's no arbitrary value in terms of when you stop taking your HRT. If you're getting benefits from taking HRT, then this, you know, you will carry on reassessing your risks, because actually as you age, your risks will increase for certain conditions. And we will just, you know, we discuss that with the patients. And then it's down to the patient in terms of whether they feel that the symptoms that they're experiencing are too bad for them to continue without any HRT, or they're actually say, well, you know what, the risk is getting a little bit high for me now, I think the symptoms are manageable and I'm going to try and give it a go and see how I feel with them. So there's no arbitrary value. And I know in terms of that study that you mentioned there, it used to be, I remember years ago, it used to be you can only be on HRT for 5 years and then you've got to come off it. So we were making these women go cold turkey after 5 years, when we'd actually given them a new lease of life and said, actually, this is how you can feel, and now we're going to take it away from you. So you're going to go back to feeling the way
We've had quite a few ladies that the docs have only given it to them for 5 years and then it stopped, and then said they don't know what to do now because they don't feel themselves. And it's just, it's bonkers, really. Like, why would you stop it when you're still feeling great?
And actually coming back to we spoke about the risk, but there are some benefits with taking HRT. And actually, if you take it in that perimenopause phase, so where your hormones are really kind of fluctuating, so you're still having some sort of bleed, the benefits, and the research papers are showing this, is that there's some benefits associated with bone health, because estrogen is involved in maintaining bone health. It gives you some protection in terms of your heart. So it helps with the good cholesterol, so to speak, in the body, which carries all the bad fats back to the liver to clear through. It's known to show that there's some protective effects with terms of diabetes and dementia as well. So really, we always talk about the risks associated with HRT, but there's some real benefits as well of taking HRT. And this research shows that if you start taking HRT within 10 years of the menopause, so 10 years.
I'd say, I think it's before 60, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then it has all the benefits to it.
Okay.
Perfect.
Joe?
Would you be willing to share, if you mentioned, Melissa, about how you eventually got onto testosterone, would you be able to share your experience with HRT and how the benefits you've had?
Yeah. And again, I was probably in that bracket of, where do I feel? When I saw a lot of women coming through the clinic and they were starting to feel better, I was probably on the cusp of, I don't really feel that bad, but I don't feel myself. So could HRT make a difference? I like going to the gym, I like training, I was working a lot, and things weren't working right. So I was getting more brain fog, I was feeling a bit more anxious. A few hot sweats were coming in. So We started with the estrogen first, and I've already got a coil in, so I didn't need that. So we started with the estrogen, and for me, within about two weeks max, I felt a massive, massive difference. My mood lifted. The boys, my kids say to me now, they're like, "Mummy, why aren't you shouting at us? Why aren't you getting angry anymore?" No matter what they do now, I just feel like a lot calmer and a lot more level and back to myself, which is great. But I still felt there was something else not there. So then started using the testosterone, and that was just, it literally just cleared my mind. That was more of a brain fog and a mental clarity one for me, where I just literally just felt back to myself again. And I just feel on fire all the time now, which is really good.
That's not a hot sweat, actually.
No. So yeah, no, it's just, I just feel like I can operate really well at work. I'm fine with relationships and kids. I feel a lot better than where I was probably a couple of years ago.
Brilliant. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, brilliant. Right. Thank you so much for joining us. When people want to find out more about you and your amazing service, where do they find you?
So we've got a website and Instagram. The website is live.uk. So we want you all to live again and live your life. That's why. And the Instagram's the same, live.uk. So you go online, book a consultation, and you just have to fill out a little pre-questionnaire first and then book a time for a video call.
While you're here, how does your service work then? Because I know it's all online and you post out the HRT. Do you want to go into a little bit about that? Because there's tons of people who are struggling to get appointments. There's tons of people who are just struggling to speak to the right people. And that's why, you know, we're kind of keen to get you guys on board and team up with you so we can help people get what they need and start living a better quality of life. So how does it all work?
Well, another thing that was really, really bugging me was access to HRT and making sure that when you prescribed a treatment, you can actually get that treatment. So a lot of the clients that we've seen before, they'd go to a GP or a private doctor, then they'd have to go somewhere else to get the prescription filled, then the item wouldn't be in stock, then they'd have to go back to the GP to get something else. Whereas here, we have our own GPHC regulated pharmacy. So everything's all under one roof. So we do the prescribing, the consultation, and we've got the pharmacy. So we know what products are in stock or not in stock before we prescribe them. So we make sure that whatever plan we prescribe for you, you are going to be able to get hold of. You don't need to go find it. There's no stock shortages because we know we've already got it in before we prescribe it for you. So we start with the first consultation. We do the first consultation, prescribed treatment. We also have, if you look on our website, it's not just HRT. So there's a range of vitamins and supplements because we do believe in magnesium, vitamin D, B vitamins, creams for your itchy skin. So we look at all the individual symptoms too. So we can look at putting all that together for you. So there's all the items from the pharmacy. We can put a package together for you. We deliver that out. And then we send you a message probably a few weeks before your 3-month review. Then we do another review. And then you've got your own platform on the website where you can kind of monitor what you need, when you need to reorder, look at what's going on there too.
Amazing. Brilliant. It sounds like a fantastic service. And it's, you know, it's just exactly what people need because so many people are lost. And that's sometimes when I get into these chats with people, it's like, I'm worried that I know more about this than your doctor.
Yeah, you probably do.
Okay. Yeah, that's the worrying thing. And I understand, like, it's general practitioners. It's brilliant there's people like you in this space to help people. So thank you so much for your time. I look forward to working with you more on this one. So thank you very much.
No, thank you too. That's great.